Well, I want to welcome you all to another Daily Decad, your rosary on the road, on this Monday in the fourth week of Lent. We just had Laetare Sandi, those of you who are keeping track. And so we're moving into the fourth week. It's hard to believe, I think, 2 weeks from today will be the Monday in Easter week, if I'm not in Holy Week, if I'm not mistaken. It really is coming to a close fast. So that means that you have less and less time to do your penances if you haven't started already. And I certainly would encourage everyone to be doing that. We also this Friday have the Feast of St. Joseph, if you've been saying the St. Joseph Novena, which is one of the unfailing novenas. And we're on day four? I want to say we're on day four. Today would be March 14th. And we started it on March 10th. So yes, we're on day four of the novena. Now, novenas should be prayed all 9 days, but if you want to join the novena now, what you'll do is you'll be able to pick up some graces. That's certainly true. And there's never any harm done in praying, obviously, and adding to your prayers as an act of spiritual offering. But we don't have any intentions in the inbox today, and I encourage you to change that. Send in intentions, prayer requests, anything, questions, comments, whatever you might have, so that we can, I won't share the questions and comments and whatnot. That's more for my benefit than anyone else's. But for the benefit of everyone who listens, give us a chance to pray for you. It's a wonderful opportunity to present ourselves before God and have things that we can say to him definitively, we know this is in your hands. We trust you completely. You have all of the power. It is an act of glorification to petition God in such a way. And so I encourage you to give us the opportunity. Now, I have a prayer intention of my own today, which I'm going to pray for, but it wasn't sent in. It was something I witnessed. And I want to make sure that we pray for it. But before I do that, if you have prayer intentions, when you have prayer intentions, go ahead and send those in to dailydecadrequests@protonmail.com. That's Decad, D-E-C-A-D-E, requests in the plural, at protonmail.com. Or you can comment on Gab when it's up and running. It's been a little spotty, but we do have a presence on there, and I encourage you to go ahead and post on there if you have any prayer requests, or you can send a direct message on there. I do check the thing daily, or somebody checks it daily if I don't check it. So feel free to send it there, and someone will see it and respond. Now, I have not received a direct message on Gab the entire time that we've had that account up, and so I remember when they first had it up and running, Gab messages would automatically delete themselves after 24 hours. And I don't know whether that function is still in place. My guess would be it probably is. I have a hard time believing that Torba and his team have a chance to respond to that or change it yet, but who knows. At any rate, feel free to comment. Tell me that you're sending me a message, or I'll send you a message and you can respond, or somebody will send you a message and you can respond. And feel free, of course, to email us at the appointed email. Or, the other thing, we are syndicated on Exodus Americanus. They've been very good to us over there. Despite not really having any political content, we've been hosted there, and I'm happy to bring the rosary to all of the Exodus Americanus listeners. We are saved individually and as a people. We are saved by God alone, by Christ alone, who is the only way, the only truth, and the only life, and the only means whereby anyone comes to the Father. So whether you are praying out of an interest for your people, or whether you are praying for yourself alone, know that your prayers are the only means of your salvation and of your betterment. That's the reason why I'm very happy to see us hosted over there, because it's an opportunity to spread the rosary. Nothing is as powerful as this devotion that we say. There's no other reason for me to be recording my voice here. I could talk to myself in the car. I don't need to speak into a microphone. But the rosary is here for you. Our Blessed Mother gave it to St. Dominic so he would spread it. Every person that she has brought the rosary to, from St. Dominic when it was first revealed right down to Bartolo Longo in the 19th century, someone that we should talk about more. Everyone who has ever been saved by the rosary, myself included, it is here for all of us and our salvation through Mary to Christ, through Christ to the Heavenly Father and our salvation. Now today I want to say a special prayer. There was a young girl around here recently who was where I live, who was killed in a rather nasty car accident. It was fairly publicized, and she was a Roman Catholic, to the best of my knowledge, and I want to pray for her soul and for the repose of her soul. I think I've prayed for her once already. It happened a few weeks ago. But I meant to count the days and pray for her intention on the days out from her death in the way that you would pray for the dead, the office of the dead. I'm afraid I may have missed a couple of marking points, not anniversaries. I can't think of the word, but I don't think I'm on the schedule perfectly, but I nevertheless want to return to her and pray for her immortal soul again today. And of course for any of your intentions as well and your deceased loved ones as we come into the fourth week of and nearing the final week of Lent. Now today I'm going to pray in Latin, and that's something I'm going to start doing as well, as I'll announce ahead of time whether I'm going to do Latin or English. I go back and forth between the two. Usually I'll try to pray in English if I get an intention sent in. I know that not everybody prays in Latin, but I also know that there's a core group of people who listen to the broadcast who do and who want to pray in Latin. So I want to make sure that everyone has access to the prayers as they pray them. And I promise that I will go back and forth. It's an odd promise to make. How many broadcasts in am I? We're in series 3. I think this is, 45? I'm more than 200 of these. I've done more than 200 of these. I'm almost a full year in at this point. But I do promise to do both Latin and English for everyone. I encourage you, though, to learn the Latin prayers, because that unites you not only to the Church as a whole, as it exists today, but the Church triumphant, who has prayed for thousands of years in this ancient language of the Church. I've said that piece. Now I want to pray for this young girl who was killed in this terrible car accident. Her name I don't know, unfortunately. I just read it in the news that identity was not confirmed, but I know that she was a young girl and that she was Catholic from the Hispanic community. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, Amen. Pater noster, qui es in caelis, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in caelo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitti nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris. Et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Gloria Patri, et Filio, et Spiritui Sancto, sicur erat in principio, et nunc, et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. Salve Regina, Mater Misericordia, vita dulcedo et spes nostrae, salve. A te clamamus exulis filia Evi, a te suspiramus gementes et plentes in hac lacrimarum vale. Ea ergo, advocata nostra, illos tuos misericordes oculos ad nos converte, et Iesum, viatum fructum ventris tui, nobis post hoc exilium ostende, a clemens, a pia, dulce Virgo Maria. Ora pro nobis, Sancta Dei Genetrix, ut dignis officiamur promissionibus Christi. Oremus. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection. To the same Christ our Lord. Amen. For thy handmaid, O Lord. Requiem aeternam, dona ea, Domine, et lux perpetua ea lucet, et requiescat in pace. Amen. And for all of us in our daily struggles, be they great or small, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Sacratissimum cor Jesu, miserere nobis. Sacratissimum cor Jesu, miserere nobis. Sacratissimum cor Jesu, adveniat regnum tuum. In nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Well, so as we come into the fourth Sunday of Lent, or the fourth week of Lent, rather, we're leaving the fourth Sunday. We've just left Laetare, and the reading yesterday was on the loaves and fishes, that miracle where Christ feeds the 5,000. I heard a wonderful sermon yesterday where the priest talked about how amazing that is and how we very little reflect upon just how many people that 5,000 people is, and the enormousness of the miracle. I almost made that mistake where you use enormity to mean something big. But the enormousness of the miracle. And it's little surprise that people should have seen that and immediately reacted by belief, or at least by a sort of worldly faith in Christ, because the gospel tells us that after the this happens, the people wish to take him and make him a king. Now, that's not in the gospel reading yesterday, but it is in the gospels generally that Christ retreats to the mountain because people are seeking a worldly Messiah, and he has not come to be a worldly Messiah. But the people suffer from something that most of us suffer from, which is a tendency towards reaction rather than action. And we especially, as Christians and the world that we live in, we live almost exclusively as Christian reactionaries. Not in the political sense, of course, but we become reactive in our religiosity. And that's never really a healthy thing to be. It's not what God calls us to be. We should never be reactionary in our religiosity. Now, again, that's not politically speaking. Most of what is called reaction in the last 150 or 200 years is really nothing more than basic Catholic morality. There was someone, and I forget, I want to say it was Joseph de Maistre, had commented that his beliefs were only what every reasonable and well-bred person believed before 1789. Or something along those lines. And reasonable and well-bred people before 1789 tended to be a Christian at the very least, and in France, Roman Catholic. So, to be Catholic and to hold to Catholic morality means, to a certain degree, to, in essence, reject everything that has come since, really, 1776. And that includes, well, really every political and economic philosophy that has grown out of all of that. After all, Bishop Sheen would not be able to stand in front of everyone in the 1970s and say that Christendom had come to an end. The economic, social, and political structure based on Christianity, he would not be able to say that that had come to an end had that end not had a beginning. And if we look at what was defining the world in the 1970s, the conflict between capitalism and communism, this war that was taking place in the hearts of men between the material and other material, we would say that the material had won out entirely over the immaterial. And the beginning of that material world really is in the late 1700s. So to be a political reactionary, at least, is essentially to be Catholic. Or Christian in general. I would not take that label away from the Orthodox. But that's not what I mean. And then again, to be purely reactionary politically is not good either. You should be able to anticipate what's coming and be prepared for it in all things. Prudence demands it. But in our religion, we tend to be reactionary. I do penance frequently myself, because I've sinned, and I know that I've sinned. And there's nothing essentially wrong with that. If you sin, you should do penance because you're penitent. But all of the secret sins that I carry with me, all of the imperfections that I know make me unworthy of God, I reflect very little on those, and it creates in me a sense, and I'm speaking strictly about myself here, but I think that it's probably true of most people. It creates in me a sense that if I've conquered this particular sin, if I've repented of it and moved beyond it, and I don't commit that sin again, that somehow I'm okay, I'm safe, I don't really have anything else to worry about. And that sense is a false one. We know that we should do an examination of conscience every day, and preferably a full examine, which is a reflection upon all the good and all the bad that we've done. There's a wonderful prayer that I say every night with my children that came from a poor Claire nun that asks for Let me see if I can remember it in its entirety. Eternal Father, I offer thee the Sacred Heart of Jesus with all its love, all its sufferings, and all its merits. First, to expiate all the sins that I have committed this day and in all my life, and then say a Gloria. Second, to supply for all the good that... To correct all the good I have done badly this day and during all my life, and then say a Gloria. And third, to supply for the good I ought to have done and have neglected to do this day and during all my life, and then say a third Gloria. Now, I don't know where I picked that up. It was a prayer card that I got somewhere. I believe it was from, truth be told, I think it was from a set of Acanthus friend of mine. But it's an excellent prayer to end the day with because it covers all the categories that we can fall into as sin. Sins of omission, specific sins, the actual sins. And then, of course, the good that we've done imperfectly, because we are imperfect and sinful beings. We're fallen. Original sin and the fall are essential elements of our current existence. They're not essential elements of our humanity. We weren't intended to be this way, but we are. And we can't help that. The only person that can help that is Jesus Christ, and he helps us on the cross. And so we want to be active. We don't want to just be reactive. When we sin, when we sin, what we're really doing is we're greatly sinning. We're sinning so much that our imperfection becomes, we become conscious of it. Some people don't. And some people are conscious of every sin. And they are fastidious and scrupulous. And that scrupulosity itself needs to be tempered. And a good confessor will do that. But those who carefully examine their imperfections, not each individual imperfection, but their imperfections in general, and can see clearly that they're fallen beings in their hearts, are closer to salvation than someone who goes to confession every single day, if all he is confessing is the sins he has actually committed. Because he's being reactive, but the other is being active to see the good that they've done imperfectly, the evil that they've done, and the good that they ought to have done and neglected. It covers all the elements of our fallenness, and it unites us more closely to God to recognize exactly how much of our life God must fill for our salvation. Because without him, truly, we don't have anything. And so to see exactly where the void is and to know how much we need God puts us in a better position to receive him. This is what is meant by the great mystics when they say self-emptying. We should empty ourselves that God might fill us. It's in St. Dionysius, the Areopagite. I gleaned it from Meister Eckhart, which... walk down strange spiritual paths. That's someone I really wish I had a guide when I was reading his stuff, but he draws a lot from St. Dionysius. The self-emptying that allows God into our hearts, that's not the Buddhist meditation. The people think that way because they don't understand Christianity, and there's a lot of Buddhists that latch on to Dionysius and to Eckhart, and they fundamentally misunderstand what it is. It's not this meditative emptying of the mind. All you're doing there is you're cleaning out the room for the demon to return and bring seven of his worst friends. Remember that gospel passage? That's all you're doing there when you meditate. It's not meditative prayer, meditation in the Eastern sense. You should avoid that sort of thing. But the self-emptying is the recognition of the void in our existence created by the fall and original sin, and the void that can only be filled by Christ. A self-emptying is a coming to a fuller realization of the boundaries of that void, to see where we are and where we are not. And where we are not and where God is not is evil. Or rather, where we are and God is not is evil. But where we are not and God is, then we have the fullness of God's goodness in us, and we have grace. To be an active Christian is to go out and actively seek that through our living, through our prayer life, seeking in solitude and reflection. Now, I know, speaking strictly for myself, if I'm left too much to my own mind, I wander into very dark places. And so this sort of solitude is not merely sitting alone in the quiet and just letting your mind go wild, but rather a specific focus of an examine in silence and in meditation, and to dedicate your life in meditative prayer, not Eastern meditation. I have to be very clear about that, because that word has become corrupted in our language. But a moment of meditative prayer, or more than a moment, and devoting all of your silent moments to listening for God. That's how the prophet finds God. There was the whirlwind, but God was not in the whirlwind. There was the earthquake, but God was not in the earthquake. And then there was silence, and God spoke in the silence. That is the key to active Christian living, to begin there. And then to live and to do our duty before God and man. And in being active, we will become more fully aware of where we are and where God is not, and where we are not and God is, and we'll have a very clear sense of ourselves. Socrates, who went to the oracle at Delphi, and the demons do sometimes speak truth, and the oracle told him to know himself. Socrates was later recorded by Plato saying that the unexamined life is not worth living. Christ would come and change that and say that the unexamined life is not lived. You cannot live a life you do not have a sense of. And Christ has come to reveal our lives to us so that we may live, truly live, in the fullness of life in Him. And so be an active Christian. And my prayer is that all of us will, by the intercession of by the involvement of the Holy Ghost, the intercession of our patron saints and our guardian angels, be given the clarity of mind necessary to live an active life, that it will be revealed to us by some sign that we comprehend the degree to which we are reactive Christians, that we might become more active Christians, and that we might live the life that Christ has promised to us, and that we may not die the death that was placed upon us when we were expelled from Eden. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.